So women and Havdalah. So if you take a look in Reish Tzadivov, Sifches, Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Noshim Chayavos v'Havdalah, Kishem Shechayavos v'Kiddush. So the Mechaber writes that women are Chayav and Havdalah, just like they're Chayav and Kiddush. V'yesh Mishacholei. And yet there's an opinion that disagrees. This is the Orchos Chayim. So we have Stam V'yesh, Rabbeinu Yonah is the first opinion here. So Stam V'yesh, what's the rule? Stam V'yesh, Halacha Kis, Stam. Halacha is like the Stams. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that women are Chayev in Kiddush. The Ramah, Al Kain, Lo Yavdilu La'atzman, Rak Yishmu Havdalah, Min Ha'anoshim. The Ramah writes, therefore, they shouldn't make Havdalah for themselves, they should always hear from men. So the Ramah is being choshesh for the shita of the Orchos Chayim. The Ramah is being choshesh for the shita that women are not chayiv in Havdalah. At least he's being choshesh that, or at least he's suggesting that we should be choshesh for it, and therefore better for a woman not to make her own Havdalah, but she should be yotzei with her husband. That way, if she's not really chayiv, she didn't make a bracha of Havdalah, because she was yotzei with her husband. Okay. Now, the Bach here in Mishavura, Lavin Hay, the Bach says, I don't understand what's going on here. We know that even when women are putter in a mitzvah, they can always be mechayev themselves in the mitzvah. Women are not chayev in sukkah. Women are not chayev in sukkah. And yet, a woman is able to sit in the sukkah, and for Ashkenazim, she can make a bracha. So she could be mechayev herself in a mitzvah and even make a bracha on it. So, you know, who cares if she's not... Let's say she's putter in Havdalah. Why can't she make Havdalah? She can be mechayev herself in the mitzvah. That's what the Bach asks. Why does the Ramah say to be machmir and have the men make the bracha for the women? Granted, even if she's not yotze, not chayev, she could be mechayev herself. She's able to do it. Ella says the Bach, l'chora, therefore, if a woman's in a situation, certainly, and she's in a situation when the husband's not around, she can certainly make Havdalah for herself, even according to the Ramah. The Ramah must mean that if the husband's there, just let the husband do it. But certainly, certainly, if she's in a situation where there's no husband around, so she certainly would be able to make Havdalah for herself. And this is what the Mishabura paskins. And this is the halacha. Women get very nervous about making Havdalah. They've heard all these different things about women not making Havdalah. The halacha is that if the man is not there, the woman is able, 100% able to make Havdalah. This is very nogei lamaisa sometimes. If it's Motzei Yom Kippur, let's say, and the husband is not coming home, I don't know, the shul, they went a little bit late. And then they're saying Kiddush Levana. And the wife is hungry, but she doesn't want to make Havdalah because she heard she shouldn't make Havdalah. She should make Havdalah. Somebody just asked me, also maybe a halacha lamaisa, she said that her husband works as a nurse or a doctor, I'm not sure exactly what it is. It said that he had a shift on Shabbos, and he's not going to get back until 1 o'clock in the morning. So should she wait for him to wait for him to make Havdalah? And then what's she supposed to do about eating? So the Rav, I was there, the Rav that she asked, he said, no, for sure you should make your own Havdalah. Make your own Havdalah, women can make Havdalah. That's the psak of, certainly the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishavur quotes here, this is what the Ramah would agree to. But even though we're saying a woman can make Havdalah, there still are going to be nafkamina, since the Ramah is saying that when you don't have to, in general, a man should be motzi a woman. So the first nafkamina would be, a man who is already yotzei Havdalah, can he now make Havdalah again for his wife? Right, let's say the husband, whoever it was, he thought that his wife was going to hear someplace else. So he had in mind Shul to be yotzei, or he made Havdalah. And then his wife comes in, she says, oh, I never made Havdalah. So normally, what happens if you make Kiddush and someone else hasn't heard, been Yotzei Kiddush yet? You can make Kiddush for them. The principle is Afal Pi Sheh Yotza Motzi. Because of what principle? Arvus. And therefore, Afal Pi Sheh Yotza Motzi. Even though you've already been Yotzei, you could be Motzi. So can we apply that principle by Havdalah and say, even though the husband's already been Yotzei, he can make it again in order to be motzi the wife. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, for sure, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that women are chayiv in Havdalah. But according to the Ramah, who says we have to be choshesh that women are not chayiv in Havdalah, so then if the husband's already been yotzei, if he's going to make Kiddush, if he's going to make Havdalah again just to be Motzi his wife, and she's not really Chayiv, then it could be his bracha as a bracha l'batal. So that's the first thing that Mishnah Berurah points out. That a husband, according to the Ramah, a husband should not make Havdalah again for his wife, even though he could make Kiddush again for his wife. But he shouldn't make Havdalah again for his wife. That's nafkamina number one. Right. So, good question. So, if we're choshes for bracha levatal, so she shouldn't be able to make it for herself. Like, if she can make it for herself, why can't he make it for her? So, what was that? And right, and therefore, she can make a bracha.
And it's a problem.
And for him, why is it the Eliza? Okay. Right, he wants to make a second Abdel. So, L'chorah, the Pshat is that for her, she could be Mechayev herself. She's not really Chayev. But the halacha is that if she wants to, that's the Bach points out, she could be Mechayev herself and she can make a bracha. And she can make the Abdel. But he can't do that for her. She could do that for herself. She's really potter, but she wants to be machter on herself. But for the husband to do it for her when he was already yotzei, that's already taking in like another step. He's sort of being mechayev. So she could be mechayev herself, but he can't be mechayev her. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be, can a woman make avdala for a man? So again, if you're the Shulchan Aruch, a woman certainly can make avdala for a man. But if you're the Ramah, and there's a tzad that the woman might not be chayiv, and we're not sure, there's a suffix here, so on the tzad that she's not chayiv, so she might not be able to be motzi him. Now again, why can't she be chayiv herself and then be motzi him? Okay, so you're right, that would be, but it would certainly be better for the husband to make the havdalah in that situation. Okay. Even if a woman is going to make havdalah, let's say a woman is chayiv in havdalah, this is a suffix that's brought up by the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha, right here on the page, right in the middle of this Be'er Halacha, he says, "Umistapakna." I have a suffix. Even if you want to say that Nashim are Chayavos in Havdalah, are they Chayavos in the Bracha of the Ne'er? Who can remind me? We mentioned it the other week, but let's just mention it quickly. What would be the Tzadim? Let's get into the Lumdus for a second. I know Chanoch likes the Lumdus. What would be the Lumdus if a woman is Chayiv in Havdalah or not Chayiv, right? We said we have a machlokas. Women are Chayiv or not Chayiv. What's the lumdus? Like, why should she be Chayiv? Why should she not be Chayiv? So let's analyze it. Wait, what's the? It's not Roma, so she should be Pater. What's the question? It should be that she's Pater. Okay, so then why is she Chayiv in Kiddush? Kiddush is also Zman Groma. So we have a special drasha. Call anyone who's Chayiv to Shamor is Chayiv to Zachar. So women, because they're chayiv in the low sases of Shabbos, they're also chayiv in the ases of Shabbos. So she's chayiv in Kiddush. She's chayiv in, let's assume, for this reason, let's assume for now, that's why she's chayiv in Lachamishna and three sudos. Okay? Those might be the Rabbanon, so. But what about Havdalah? So it's really a very simple question. Is Havdalah a Shabbos mitzvah, or is it not a Shabbos mitzvah? If Havdalah is a Shabbos mitzvah, so just like she's chayiv in Kiddush, she's chayiv in Havdalah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch holds. So what does the Ramah hold, or the Aruch HaShem at least? Aruch HaShem apparently says that Havdalah is not a Shabbos mitzvah. It's a Motzei Shabbos mitzvah. It's not Shabbos. It's not included in the limud of whoever shaykh to the low sases or shaykh to the ases. So it's not an assay of Shabbos. It's its own assay. It's a Motzei Shabbos assay. So very nice. If that's the lumdus, so now let's talk about the canon. The bracha of Havdalah, I understand it's sad to say that it's a Shabbos mitzvah. But what would you say about the candle? Borei Morei Ha'esh. Why are we making a bracha on the candle? Right, what are we commemorating? The fact that Adam Arishon lit the first fire on Motzei Shabbos. It had nothing to do with Shabbos. I mean, he couldn't do it until Shabbos was over, but it had nothing to do with Shabbos. The first fire in the world was Motzei Shabbos. And why do we make a Brei Morei HaEish? The Shulchan Aruch is going to tell us in another few simanim. in order to commemorate the first fire. So says the Be'er Halacha, L'chora, that's not a Shabbos Halacha, that's a Motzei Shabbos Halacha. So it should be Rekulei Alma that women are not chayav in Birchas Haner. And therefore, the Be'er Halacha comes out and says that if a woman's making Avdalah for herself, she should not make Borei Merei Hayesh. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Negros Moshe and Rav Adi Yosef both write that that's not the minhag. You know, the Chafetz Chaim didn't live so much before Rav Moshe Feinstein. But the Chafetz Chaim apparently felt that women should not be making the Borei Merei Hayesh if they're making their own Avdalah, as opposed to Rav Moshe and Rav Adi Yosef said that that is the minhag. The minhag is that they do make their own. So really, regarding this, you know, it could sort of go either way, right? There's an argument this way, there's an argument that way. And the minhag does seem to be that women do make Borei Merei Hayesh. So if a woman is making her own Avdalah, let's say her husband's on a business trip, so she's home alone for Shabbos with the kids, she can make her own Avdalah, she can make Borei Merei Hayesh, even though it's a suffik in the Be'er Halacha here. Here's I think it's a well-known minhag that women generally do not drink the wine from Havdalah. I don't know if you've ever heard this, of women not drinking the wine. And some people even say that if a woman drinks the wine, what's going to happen? She's going to get herself a job in the circus. Because what's going to happen? She's going to grow a beard. Right, she's going to get a beard. So what is Pshat? Listen, I've tried drinking a lot of Havdalah wine. It hasn't worked. I'm trying, but it doesn't work, the Havdalah wine. But they say that a woman, if she drinks from the Havdalah wine, she's going to grow a beard. So what's Pshat here? First of all, why shouldn't she drink? Why is there a minhag for her not to drink the wine? Let's put the beard on the side for a second. Why shouldn't she drink the wine? There's actually a very interesting halachic argument why she shouldn't drink the wine, and it's based on what we just said a minute ago. We just said that women might not be chayiv in the bracha of Borei Merei Hayesh. So now, when she hears Havdalah from her husband, after Borei Merei Hayesh, she's probably going to say, Amen. But she didn't need to say Amen. She wasn't chayiv in the bracha. So she was mafsik between the Borei Pri HaGafen and the drinking. He makes Borei Pri HaGafen. Then he makes Borei Merei Besamim. She says Amen. Then she makes Borei Merei Hayesh. She says Amen. She didn't need to say Amen. She's not chayiv in that bracha. It's okay that she said Amen. You can say Amen on a bracha you're not chayiv in, but she's in the middle of Havdalah. She heard Borei Pri HaGafen and she didn't drink yet. You can't talk between making a bracha and drinking. The only time we ever allow you to talk between making a bracha and drinking is if you're continuing to say brachos that you're chayav to say, like Friday night. We say Borei Pri HaGafen, and then we continue with Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. That's not a hefsek because that's me in the bracha. But let's say I was sitting here, I had a cup of tea, and I say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos Shakol Yeh Bivaro, and as I'm about to drink, I hear Sruli say Asher Yotza. So I say, oh, Amen. I can't drink anymore. So I was just mafsik between my bracha and the drinking. So the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, says that's why the minhag came out, that women don't drink Havdalah wine. Not really because they can't drink the Havdalah wine, because when they say Amen to Borei Merei Hayesh, if, this is like a real alumnus here, if you learn, like the Tzad and the Be'er Halacha, that women are pater from Borei Merei Hayesh, so then their Amen was a hafsek, and that's why they can't drink. Which agav would mean that if the woman really wants to drink, so after Havdalah is over, she could just pick up the cup and say, Baruch Atah Hashem Gemelcho on Borei Pri HaGafen and take a drink. She can make her own Borei Pri HaGafen and then drink. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with her drinking the wine. It's just that there's a bracha issue here because she said Amen. And if she listens to the recording of Bashir and she knows that she's not supposed to say Borei Merei Hayesh, so she doesn't say Amen, then she's fine also. This agav, by the way, a lot of women don't realize this comes up on Yontif nights, many times. I don't know what everyone's minhag here is. In America, people's minhag is definitely to do it this way. I think in Eretz Yisrael it's not as popular, but for sure in America, the minhag by many people is that when the woman lights candles Yontif night, so she makes a bracha on Hadlakas Ner Shel Yontif, and then she makes a Shechianu when she lights candles. Is that what our wives do? They make Shechianu when they light candles. Then, when you make Kiddush at the table, you make Kiddush, and then you say Shechianu. If she says Amen, now she has a problem with drinking. Because she wasn't chayiv in Shechianu, she was already Yotze when she lit candles. So how could she drink from the cup without saying, drink from the cup, she was mafsik with an Amen. It's a big discussion in the Achronim. So some say that she shouldn't say Amen. Some say she shouldn't even make the Shechiyanu on the candle. She should be Yotzei at Kiddush. It's a big discussion. The Maisa, we're making if she does. But it's a sugya, it's a discussion. So that's what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says. There's another suggestion by the Shulah.
What's the problem with
Well, we want all of the brachas to be ala kos, especially the hamavdil. So, yeah, but there we... are you saying because there we're making additional brachas, let's say, but usually the Masada Kedushin does that. I'm trying to remember when he does that, because they make the bracha of Birchas Eirusin. And then they do the Harayat Mekudeshin. But that's because they're done there with the kos. They're really done with the kos at that point. Because then they make another kos for there's another kos for the Sheva brachas. So there the issue is that he's gonna make the bracha and then they're going to do Harei HaMekudesh, and then he's going to start passing the cup around. He wants to drink right away from the bracha. He doesn't want to be such a big hefsek with Harei HaMekudesh, and people take pictures, and they're smiling, and they're waving to their mother, and so therefore he wants to drink right away. But here, we want once you drink, the cup is done. You know, it's pogum at that point, the kos. So if you would make another bracha on it, it would be making a bracha on a kos pogum. You would have to add more. Once you sip from the kos becomes pogum. I think that's the real reason. So therefore, we want the next bracha, the bracha of Abdullah, to be on a coast that's not pagum. The Shlah has another reason why women don't drink, and this one's a little bit more Kabbalistic. The Shlah writes that there's deos that the tree, the fruit that Adam and Chava ate from, was grape. It was grapevines. It was grapes. And Adam achieved tshuva on Motzei Shabbos for his chait, and therefore to have the woman who started this whole trouble to start drinking from the wine, so the Shlah says that al pi kabbalah it's not a wise thing to do. So according to that, it is what it is, we don't understand it so much, but that's what the Shlah writes. He says that's a woman reason why a woman wouldn't drink from the wine. And the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa points out that, okay, so the nafkamina then would be that if the husband makes kiddush on beer, then there would be nothing wrong with her drinking from it. It's not a problem of drinking from the Havdalah wine. It's a problem of drinking grapes or wine on Motzei Shabbos. Right? It's more of a grape juice or wine issue as much as it's a Havdalah issue. Agav, this would really be interesting. If you really want to start, being a chacham, you could say that when a woman needs to make Havdalah for herself on Motzei Shabbos, let's say when the husband's not in town, maybe it's better for her to make Havdalah on beer than on wine, because she has to make Havdalah, but it's better for her not to drink wine based on Mishlah, so maybe it would be better for her to make Havdalah on Chavar Medina. That would be an interesting cheshbon that would come out, putting together a couple of different things that we've spoken about. All right, what's this issue about the beard thing? So there's a sefer called Maisi Ish, which is Hanhagos of the Chazon Ish. So they tell a story there that I have the quote here. It's Rav Yisrael Yosef Shapiro was once by the Chazon Ish, and there were a lot of children that used to come and hear Havdalah. The Chazon Ish used to make Havdalah, and people could come. Some of us might remember Rav Yashiv used to do this. Rav Yashiv used to go to Rav Yashiv. Remember when I was in Yeshiva, I went a bunch of times to Rav Yashiv for Maariv on Motzei Shabbos, then you can be there for Havdalah, and they pass the kos around. So I remember once there was a yeshiva bacher who was a little bit too eager to get the kos, and as Rav Yashiv finished Havdalah, and he tried to pass the kos to one of his grandchildren, this yeshiva bacher jumped out and tried to grab the kos, and the wine went flying out, and it landed all over Rav Yashiv's arm. I remember. And Rav Yashiv, he just looked at his arm, and then he went back to looking forward. He was very serious, Rav Yashiv. He looked at his arm, and then but apparently people used to come and have Havdalah by the Chazon Ish. And a lot of children would always go, and he would give out to the children. So he tells a story here that once a little girl pushed her way to the front and tried to get some Havdalah wine, and her father started to tell her, Nish, you're gonna get a beard. Don't take the Havdalah wine. She says that the Chazon Ish turned to the father, and he said that the Welt makes a toast about this issue. And he says, this is his lashon. It's not Lo mi shoshose godel lo zaken, ela mi shegodel lo zaken hu shoteh. It's not that if you drink you'll get a beard. It's that people with beards should be the ones to drink. And what the Chazon Ish was referring to was that men are supposed to really make Avdallah because there's this whole suffix by women. So men, people who have beards, are the ones who are supposed to make Avdallah. And he said that turned into somehow that if you make Avdallah, you're going to grow a beard. But that's, he said it's a toss, the Chazon Ish. That's a pretty good ages, the Chazon Ish, this whole idea of a beard. But, okay, just one other interesting issue about women hearing Avdallah. The question arises, okay, so let's say the woman, the husband's not home. Can the woman hear Avdallah on the telephone? Like, let her call in and hear a neighbor or hear somebody else making Avdallah. Maybe the husband can make Avdallah for her, wherever he is. So this is just, it's just an interesting opportunity to speak about this topic just for a minute or two. That's the whole issue of microphones and telephones. Or here in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes they'll have a Shidur Chai on the radio of Mikra Megillah. So Rav Moshe writes in a couple of tshuvas about microphones and radios and telephones. He says you're not Yotze. He says that the voice that you hear, it's not your voice. He says there's one tshuva where he's a little bit willing to be makel if it's a shas hadachak and there's no other way for her to hear Avdallah. She doesn't know how to say it herself. And I believe that during COVID, there were poskim that were makel for Megillah and for other things to do it over a radio, over a phone. But I don't know exactly what factors they were taking into account. It could be there was like keeping people psychologically on board. They took that into account. You know, if people felt like they were missing out on all these mitzvos. But Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that anyone who understands how a microphone works or a radio works knows that there's no question. You're not Yotze. It's not your voice. You know, your voice gets turned into electrical waves. It's sent over there. It gets reconstructed. It sounds like your voice, but it's not your voice. It's like a video. Everybody knows that a video is not a person. It's a bunch of pixels on a screen. But they're put together, so it looks just like the person that the video was taken of. Obviously, we all know it's not a real person. So Shlomo Zalman says you're definitely not Yotze. And Rav Avadya agrees. Rav Avadya writes that all these live Megillah readings on the radio, they're very nice, but that's, you're not Yotze the mitzvah that way. And this is the whole issue with the microphones at weddings, that you know, you see like they put the microphone and then the Masada Kedusha pushes it away, and then someone from the family tries to push it back and then he pushes it away again. The issue is that if you have to really have, let's say, 10 people, like a Birchas Chasanim, you have to have 10 people there for Sheva Brachos, so we hear the Bracha. And if they only hear the microphones, they haven't really heard the voice. So what we're making, the reason why people are making is they assume that the 10 closest people standing by the Masada Kedushin, so they hear the actual voice of the person speaking. They don't hear the speakers. And therefore, we're Yotze with them hearing that. But this is a discussion, and it's clear that Havdalah should not be made via telephone or things like that. Okay, moving on to Reish Tzadi Zayin. A couple of halachos about the besamim. Also, I think very practical, very interesting things. So first of all, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch here is very interesting. We're in Reish Tzadi Zayin Aleph. Mivarech al habesamim im yeshlo. Yim ein lo, ein tzarech lachzor achareihem. Might be very startling if you've never seen this halacha before. Besamim is a nice thing to have, but it's not required. That's the Shulchan Aruch writes. If you have besamim, good, but don't drive yourself crazy. I think that's the English translation here. Don't drive yourself crazy looking for besamim. If you have, it's great, and if not, you're still Yotze Havdalah. Havdalah, we've now chipped away, by the way, at Borei Morei Ha'esh. The candle is not really Havdalah. It's a Motzei Shabbos thing connected to the fact that the first fire was Motzei Shabbos. It's not a Havdalah thing, per se. Besamim also, it's nice to have. It's not absolutely required. What's required for Havdalah? Borei Pri Agafen and the Bracha of Hamavir Ben Kodesh Tokol. That is Havdalah. Now the reason why we have Besamim, the Rishonim write, is because when the Neshama Yisera leaves, when the heightened level of connection to spirituality, that's what Neshama Yisera means on its most basic level. Shabbos is a time where our bodies are better kalim for receiving Kedusha. So everything we do gets doubled or tripled. It's like a matching. You know, every effort you put in gets doubled and tripled on Shabbos. So when we lose that, there's something about the smell that's supposed to help us relax and to get over the fact that we're losing the Neshama Yaseiru. Now the bracha that we make on Besamim, the Mishnah Berurah here says is that we always make a borei minei misam. The reason why that's a chiddush is because if you've learned through the halachos of Reyach, you know that there's really three different brachas. There's a bracha of atse besamin, which we would make on things that come from trees, hard branches. There's a bracha of isve besamin, that would be on bushes that have softer branches. And then there's borei minei misamin, which is a more klali bracha. The bracha that we make on Motzei Shabbos is always borei minei besamin. Even let's say you're using hadasim, which are really atse besamin, you still make a borei minei besamin. And the reason is because we don't expect everyone to be an expert. You know, if I showed you cloves, right? Cloves are like the classic, what people use for besamin, right? The little stick with the crown on top and the ball on top. You ever see a clove tree? Do you have any idea? What does that grow on? Does that grow on a tree? Does it grow on a bush? Is that atse besamin? Is that isve besamin? We don't know. So we don't expect everyone to be an expert in botany, right? Oh, except for Sfardim. Sfardim are makbid that they always make the specific bracha for Havdalah. So they will say atse besamim, isve besamim. But the Ashkenazic practice, the Mishnah Berurah writes, is that we always say borei minei besamim, even if you know it's really an atse besamim. It's like a shahakol. It covers everything. So we want everyone to always make the right bracha. So we make borei minei besamim. The Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Beis tells us that you do not make a bracha, and by extension, you don't use it for Avdallah, any fragrance that's used to cover up bad smells. The examples that he brings is either in a bathroom or in a morgue where there's dead bodies, and they burn something in order to make the smell better. So you would not make a bracha on that smell. And you also certainly would not use it for Avdallah. So, I don't know, maybe Yeshiva Bachrim, if they need to make Avdallah in Yeshiva and they can't find the Besamim, so maybe they would take one of those blue hockey pucks out of the bathroom, right, that they stick in the toilets there, in the urinal, and they want to make Avdallah on that. Right? Yeshiva Bachrim could figure out something like that. You would not make a bracha on that, because that's something that's there to cover up a bad smell. Anything that's there to cover up a bad smell. So, an air freshener. If you take an air freshener, if you have something, sometimes people have like these, I don't know if it's like these red and leaf things, the potpourri that they'll put in the bathroom to make it smell nice, to cover up the bad smell. So if you need something for Abdullah, you can't take that. Anything that's miuad for covering up bad smells, you don't make a bracha on, and certainly don't use for Abdullah. It's an interesting question. What about perfumes? So now, original perfumes, in the olden days, the way that they used to really make perfumes, and I'm sure you can order from some, you know, boutique perfume outlet, you could still probably get real natural perfume, is they took plants, they took flowers, they put them in oils, and they would let them sit in the oils for a long time. The oil would absorb the fragrance from the flowers, and they'd take the flowers out, they would sell you the oil. So there, you wouldn't make a bracha, b'rayim and samim, if that which causes the smell, it's a suffix in the Shulchan Aruch. If you make a bracha when they take it out, the flower, sometimes they leave the flower in there until it dissolves. When the flower dissolves, then we do make a bracha, Mishnah Berurah says. But that's natural perfumes. Nowadays people don't really use those. If you go to the duty free and you buy yourself Calvin Klein perfume, so that's not made from any plants or flowers. That's all chemically. It's all chemicals. So the psak of Rishon Zalman is that anything that's chemically engineered, you don't make a brahmin name to summon one. So if you go to a perfume store, you don't make a brahmin name to summon. Rav Avadja held that you do make a brahmin name to summon, mine to summon. And the family of Rav Avadja says that many Motzei Shabbos he made Avdallah on perfumes. He would make Avdallah on perfumes. They say you only do it if the mamashus of the perfume is there, like the liquid. You know, if somebody walks by and you smell their perfume, you wouldn't say like, and make a brave maybe some, right? Because there's no mamoshes there. You would need the actual bottle, but Ashkenazim generally don't do that.
He's even artificial.
Even synthetic, even stuff made from chemicals. He made a bracha, but the Ashkenazi psak is not to. So if you go into a perfume store, you don't have to. Not that you don't have to. You're not supposed to make a bracha, even though it's very nice smells. There's also, everyone knows the snuff that they pass around in shul, tabak, I don't know exactly, schmack. I see that. Schmeck. I see that they. So these things, what it used to be is it used to be tobacco, and then they would put in fragrances to cover up because the tobacco doesn't have a good smell. So it's pashut, you wouldn't make a bracha on that because it's there to cover up the tobacco smell. Are these things still tobacco today? They still are tobacco? So if they're still tobacco, the pashut is that you wouldn't make a bracha. I think some of them are really just chemicals. I don't know. I think some of them, and you know, I've seen people in shuls with little signs that say what bracha to make on it. I don't know. I never take because I don't know if you're supposed to make a bracha on it or not. But if it's actual tobacco and it's just there to cover up the tobacco smell, so then the pasha says that you wouldn't make avdol. You wouldn't make a bracha on that. You certainly wouldn't use it for avdol. Okay. There's a the Shulchan Aruch here quotes a practice in Sif Dalid to use hadasim for havdol. To use hadasim for havdol. And the Mishnah Berurah says that it's specifically referring to the hadasim that you used in your lulav. And he writes, because since you used it for a mitzvah, it's nice to continue to use it for a mitzvah. Now he points out that you can't use it on Sukkos itself, because on Sukkos, it's huksel mitzvah. Once it's huksel mitzvah, you can't use it for other things. But he writes that after Sukkos is over, it's nice to save your hadasim to use them for Havdalah. The problem that the Ramah here brings up himself, the Ramah upstairs on the page, the Ramah writes that he doesn't know what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about because by him, at least, a little bit after Sukkos, it no longer has any smell, the hadasim. You know, dries out. It doesn't have any smell. So he says that what he thinks is a nice minhag is to have a box and to crush up the hadasim into the box, but also put cloves in. And that way you're sort of mekayim this minhag of using the hadasim. That's what you do. But you also use the cloves. So that's one, in terms of hidurim, that's one nice hidur when it comes to besamim, to use your hadasim for at least part of your besamim, to mix it with something else. The other thing that he brings down is it's nice to have, and this I think a lot of us do anyway, a dedicated nice box for your besamim. Meaning you are able to walk into the kitchen and take some cinnamon or some spices out of the closet and use that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. He says there's a nice inyan to have a separate box for the besamim and to be mahadir with the mitzvah in that sense. Okay, a couple of quick more halachas. We have 2 or 3 more minutes, so we'll go a little quicker. This was a halacha that was very nogeya in the tkufas corona. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Hei says someone who's not able to smell, they've lost their sense of smell, you do not make the bracha on besamim because you're not able to smell. You can have somebody else make the bracha. You can be yotzei, someone else make the bracha. You can say amen. But he says that you should not make the bracha. Another interesting halacha, which I think comes up more in larger settings, like yeshivas, or if you go away someplace for Shabbos, and that is, let's say, you know, in general, you have one person make avdol, he's motzi everybody else. What if you're in a situation where you're not able to get the summon in time before he goes on with the rest of avdol? Right? You're at a Shabbaton, or you're on a program somewhere, and there's 100 people. They make avdol, and they're, you know, passing around the besamim. And the guy who's making avdol, he's already moved on. So what are you supposed to do in that situation? So the halacha in this situation, the Shabura talks about this, he says, in general, you should be yotzei with him. Brovam hadras melech. It's better to be yotzei with the person making. But if the situation is going to be that you're going to miss out on it, so he says that you can make the bracha after avdol. You hear him make avdol. And when Havdalah is over, so you go over to the besamim, you make your own bracha after Havdalah, and you make a bracha on the besamim. He says the same thing about the neros, the candles, that if you're too far away and the lights are on, so you're not getting any hana, and when you look at your fingernails, you're not seeing any of the light from the fire on your fingernails. You're so far away. And therefore, it's better just to wait, let him finish Havdalah, and then you can go over, you can relight the candle, you can make a barim ha'esh, and you'll make the bracha on your own afterwards. And you have in mind that what? That you're not yotzei with his bracha, right? And you'll make your own bracha afterwards.